I like that one. Every tear wiped away when I go home, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. I don't have a death wish. I'm not going to go out here and stand in traffic or go jump off a bridge. But I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to whether it's a hole in the ground or a hole in the sky. I really don't care. I'm ready to die. I'm not afraid of it. But I'm longing to go home. This is not my home. I am not a citizen of this country anymore. I changed my citizenship a long time ago, and I'm looking for home. I don't know, it's been said, I don't know how I can be homesick for a place I've never been, but I am. I am. I reckon it's because I've got so many people there. There's many people there that I know, so many people there that I'm kin to, and so I'm looking forward to that. All right, you got work for the Lord, you help yourself. All right, turn to John chapter 20, if you would. The Gospel of John chapter 20. As you're turning there, I want you to know I'm going to be as simple as I can be today. Be just as simple as I can be, trying to get you to maybe search yourself. We encourage you to the next couple Sundays, if you have unsaved loved ones that you can bring to church, it'll come with you. You come, bring them with you. But you that are here, I want you to search your mind, search your heart, and to make sure that you are saved. The urgency of people coming to Christ is very high right now, for myself anyway. How urgent it is. Time goes by so quickly, and it's not that I want you to try to be scared to die or try to make you fear in that respect, but that you might have a reality that eternity could be your next step. And when you take that next step into eternity, if you're not saved before you take that step, then there's no change in that fact after you take the step. If you are saved, then you'll be ushered into the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So for a Christian, death, the Bible plainly says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's good. It's good. It's a good thing. I know we don't ever want to lose somebody when they pass. We don't ever want to go without them. But can I tell you, there probably ain't nothing any greater than to die and go to heaven. There's nothing any greater than that. Do you understand that? Now, it's not a sad thing for a Christian. It's a joyful thing. That's why I'm quite excited about it. I get to go. I don't deserve to go. I get to go. And it's all because of what Christ has done for me, and I accepted that fact. But I want you to understand that eternity is real, whether you're saved or not. And if you're not saved, when you die, you'll go immediately into hell. Immediately. And you'll be tormented. There'll be many torments in hell immediately. Do you understand what I'm saying? There'll be many torments, and the sad part of that is it's going to get worse. Do you understand that? If you die today unsaved, you'll go immediately to hell, and it will be many torments. Many. All right? Tormented in a flame, the Bible plainly teaches. But then, after the white throne judgment, after the Lord comes back in the rapture and the tribulation period is done here on this earth, and the 1,000-year reign is done with Christ upon the earth, there'll be a white throne judgment. And then hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse. And the worst thing about hell may not be the flame. May not be the darkness. It may not even be the separation. The worst thing about hell is it's forever. That there's no let up. Now, all them things individually is horrible, but the thing that will never end. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm telling you that that's what Jesus came preaching. He said, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. And I'm not here to offer you pie in the sky just to go to heaven. I'm here to offer you an alternative to an eternity in hell. I'm here to offer you life. Because that's what Christ came, that he might give us life and life more abundant. And that's the purpose of me preaching to you. The Bible says it for it pleased God that the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. That's why we have a preacher. Now, as a pastor, I'm to help teach you and lead you. But as a preacher, I'm to preach to you to get you to understand and to believe by faith that Jesus died in your place, paid the sin debt, that in receiving Christ, you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ and Him alone, and that's the only way. That's the only way. And you don't really know what living is until you get saved. The Bible says in John chapter 20, it says verse 30, John chapter 20, verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. We'll be preaching to you the next few weeks, as we said, out of the book of John. And them things are written that you might believe. That you might believe that he is the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life. That's why we're preaching what we're preaching right now. Now, we'll be preaching out of John chapter 3. You can go there in just a moment. Let's pray together. Can we? Father, I come, and Lord, I'm unworthy to do anything of my own. I know that. But Lord, I'm so glad that you saved me. And though I might not be worthy, I'm not worthless, because you saved me and you give me eternal life. I'm your child. Though I might be the worst of the bunch, Lord, you still have brought me into the family, and I thank you for that. Now, Lord, speak to every heart. I'm asking you to draw and move upon us today, that every man, woman, boy, and girl that's upstairs here, those will be listening on live stream, those will be listening later even on the webpage, that they search their heart and they make sure that they've been born again, that they've been truly saved. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Again, touch us fresh of the Holy Spirit. Give me power, Lord, to preach as you want me to preach. In simple understanding, let the Holy Spirit speak in our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, we're going to look here in John chapter 3. And as I said, I'm going to try my best to be as simple as I can that you might understand. And if you are saved, you humor me. And you ought to be able to say amen to everything that I say this morning to help things along. All right? Don't be bored with the Word of God if you're a Christian. You ought to be excited that you're a Christian. And show others that's not saved that there's something to be in saved. All right? You think about that. And then if you're not saved, please examine yourself. Listen carefully to the Word of God. In John chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1 and read down just a ways here, okay? John chapter 3, and then we'll give you some thoughts. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'll stop right there. That was down to verse 18. And I want to give you three thoughts, three main thoughts, if I could, this morning, to maybe let you see maybe even the condition of your own heart or your own mind. Listen carefully. When I look at this, I see the message that is laid out here to start with. It's a simple message. And to give you the account, Nicodemus was a ruler. He was one of 71 of the higher up of the Pharisees, if you would. He would be like, if we was going to try to compare it to something, it'd be like our Supreme Court justice, you know, that's set alone by themselves, higher up than anybody. Well, Nicodemus was one, the Sanhedrin, the same way. They was set above everybody. They was looked at to be perfect. They was looked at to be the cream of the crop, had done everything right, and they had the laws of God sewed in their garments and all these things. They was religious in every way. They looked religious. They acted religious. They wanted others to be as religious as they was. They didn't want people to be as religious as God taught. They only wanted people to be as religious as they was, because they was the standard. And that's how people are most of the time. We want people just to be as good as we are, because we compare everybody to ourselves. And if we're as good as everybody, and everybody's good as us, then everybody's okay. The moment somebody's worse than us, we look down our nose at them. And the moment somebody gets better, then we're jealous and envious, and we mean mouth them. But we want everybody to look at us. We're the standard. All right, and that's why people have a hard time trusting the Lord, because they're the standard and not the Lord Jesus. And I tell you that if you compare yourself to me, you're in a lot better shape, I'm sure, than I am most of the time, you know. Don't follow me, follow the Christ I follow. How about that? All right, I know I'm supposed to be an example, but sometimes I'm a part of the pitiful family, okay? I'm just not going to stand up here and say that I'm good, because I'm not. But I can tell you there is one that is, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he is the one we're supposed to be following, all right? But Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Now, why did he come by night? I believe he couldn't sleep. I believe that's why he came by night. Maybe he was too busy through the day, but I believe that people that have trouble with trying to figure out things about the Lord don't sleep real well. I believe they have even nightmares. I think things happen when the Lord goes dealing with people. But nevertheless, I look here, and it says that he came to Jesus by night. And when he came to Jesus, he understood there was something different about him. I don't believe there's anybody that can honestly say there's not something different different about Jesus. If you know anything, you know he's not normal. He's not the normal man. He's not the normal one, because he was God in the flesh. That's why he wasn't normal. He put on a robe of flesh and he might suffer like we suffer, but he was God all the way. And ain't nobody like Jesus this morning. I want you to know that. He said, you got to be a teacher or you couldn't do the things that you're doing. You got to be from God. You got to be the one, or you couldn't be doing what you're doing. And Jesus didn't condemn him. He didn't explain nothing. He just looked at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. Now that's simple as I know, just to repeat to you the scripture. Nothing else matters this morning other than you must be born again. There was an old time evangelist one time by the name of George Whitfield that preached you must be born again most all the time. And somebody asked him, he said, why do you always preach you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. That's why. Can I tell you, it's not a you should. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That there is no other way. You must be born again. Now, can I ask you, have you been born again? Have you truly been born again? Not did you pray, not did you say, repeat this and this and this. Has Christ come into your life? Have you received Christ that He's come in your life and changed you from the creature that you was to the new creation that He makes when someone is born again? Have you been born again? Are you saved? That's how you know you're saved. You've been born again. Well, Nicodemus asked what everybody said. Well, now how can you be born again when you're old? Well, you can't start over fleshly. You can't. But thank God you can start over spiritually. Thank God that everything can start brand new this morning and the past ain't held again yet. Can I tell you that you can start brand new and start a new creation, a new creature? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A brand new creation in Christ Jesus, being born again, that the old things are gone and nothing but new looking on. It don't get no better than that. And that's the message that Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand. So verse 3 says you must be born again. Verse 7 says you must be born again. Verse 5 says this, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want to make sure you understand that the water there is not you must be baptized. It's not that you must be sprinkled. That's not that would be works. All right? It has nothing to do with works. The Bible teaches us plainly in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot work to be saved, because the first thing is, you don't know how much work you must do, because the Bible don't say anything, because you're not saved by works. And you would never know how many you could do to accomplish the gift of salvation. Well, wait a minute. If you're going to work for it, it's no longer a gift. It's a wage. And then if somebody can't work, then they don't get in on it. But the Bible teaches for whosoever will. So that's why it's a gift. And then the second reason is you're not going to do with so many good works anyway, because you ain't no good to start with. And the works you do is hollow. There ain't no life in them, because you're dead in trespasses and sin. And your good works ain't really good anyway, because you're doing good works to get something out of it, not to help somebody. You're doing good works to benefit you. And that's about as selfish as it gets, and they ain't got nothing to do with salvation. So we can go on and on. Does everybody still follow me? So you're saved by grace through faith. All right. But it says here, born of water and of the Spirit. And can I tell you, and Brother Rick says this so clearly many times in his teaching, but turn over to 1 Peter, if you want to, in your Bible. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you get saved, I don't care whether it's in church or at your house or out in the road or in a hospital or wherever it's at, the Word of God is going to be somewhere around. It's either going to be preached to you and you're going to have it in your mind, or it's going to be preached to you at the very moment, or you're going to read it, or somebody's going to share it with you, because no one is saved apart from the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 23, or chapter 1, verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now that's very simple. Now, I want you to hold your finger there, because we're going to come back to it in just a moment. And we want to show you something if we can. That which is born of the water and born of the Spirit. The water is the Word of God. We plainly see that there in 1 Peter chapter 1. And the Spirit, well, that's the Spirit. It's a capital S there. That's the Spirit of God. So we got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God coming together to form life in a dead heart.
Right.
Does everybody follow me? The life that is found in you when you are saved, when you get saved, the life that is found in you ain't your life.
Right.
It's the life of the Word of God and the Spirit of God that comes together and forms a life in you. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's like a father and a mother that come together, and you've got the sperm of the father and the seed of the woman that come together, and it's life formed from that. Everybody understand that? Ain't that so simple? And Jesus says you must be born again. We're born that way physically. That's how we come into life physically. By the union of father and mother. And we come to life spiritually by the union of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God, which is God, the Word of God, which is God, is what brings us life. For He said, I am life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. He said, I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Everything that the Lord gives is life. Does anybody understand that? And it's a spiritual life on the inside. Are you understanding me this morning? I want to make it just as simple as I know to make it. All right? Now, that life is found. Now, can I tell you that my name is Mark Sechrist, all right? My father's name was Boyd Sechrist. My mother's name was Mickey Sechrist. And I have a combination of Boyd and Mickey in my life, because that's who come together to make my life. So I have a combination of them. I am a result of them coming together. All right? Now, some of them may be good, some of them may be bad. But nevertheless, I'm part of them. I have the character, if you would, of mom and dad. I have traits of mom and dad. I have, because that's the life that's formed in me, all right? Now, when the Lord does the work inside, and I trust this and I accept this by faith, I'll get to that in a moment. But the work on the inside is a supernatural work. See, people's wanting to do something. They're wanting to be baptized, or they're wanting to be good, or wanting to work, or take communion and eat the bread and drink the juice, and they're trying to achieve something. But that don't achieve life.
Right.
You didn't do that to achieve your physical life. You're here this morning, and you have nothing in it, really.
Right.
It was your mom and dad that brought you into this world. And can I tell you, apart from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, there's no life given.
That's
You can't invent it. You can't make life. They can't make life in a test tube. Huh? They have to start with life to get life to do something in a test tube. But God takes somebody that ain't no life in, that's dead in trespasses and sin, does a supernatural work on the inside and makes us what we never could be on our own, to take us to a place we can never go on our own, to give us a life we can never have on our own. And it's all by God. And that's the message that He's given us today about you must be born again. Now it goes on and says here in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now think about that. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a spiritual life. Now listen to me. Everybody ought to understand this. What you see today, unless the Lord comes right now, this old body will be put in the ground. And I think it's Jennifer and Momo. She said we all got worms. She said all of us are wormy. All of us got worms. And she said, if you don't believe that, she said, you go get and bury them and dig them up. She said, where'd them worms come from? They didn't put them in that casket. She said, you had worms when you died. Well, this old body's going to, you just have to know body. Body's the case. But anyway, can I tell you this morning that this body's going to rot. You leave me in the ground long enough, and I'm going to rot. And what you see ain't what's going. Huh? But what you know is. What you see ain't going. But what you know is. See, I would hate to think that if I die today, and y'all know I'm a time bomb anyway. I could, you know, stroke and heart attack, I could drop over at any time. All right? And but understand this. If I got to go to heaven with my arthritis and my diabetes and my heart disease and my bad kidneys and my body been broke all to pieces and sewed back together and everything else, why would I want to spend eternity like that? Huh? Why would I want to spend eternity in misery? So the Lord ain't going to let me do that either. So He does the work on the inside. Because the inside is where the problem's at anyway. See, all my problems on the outside has come because I got problems on the inside.
Right.
But that new part on the inside changed some things. And when I leave this world to go be with God, then I'm going to lay aside all my cripplings and all my diseases. I think yesterday, Brenda, you texted me a Brenda D. there texted me a Brenda Kincaid texted me a about Clint Martin. Everybody remembers Clint Martin, who's come here every now and then in a wheelchair. He had cerebral palsy. I know him since he's a little tiny feller. Anyway, he passed away, went to be with the Lord yesterday. And that's Dream and Kyle. Y'all know Dream and Kyle. That's thing. That's their boy. Anyway, he's always been drawled up. And when he got saved, I was a choral pastor, and we had a Bible school program. He was sitting behind me, and I felt a tug on my suit coat. And I turned around, and he got out. He said he wanted to get saved. So Clint got saved that night at the Bible school. But when I baptized him, I had to borrow the baptistry at Olive Branch because I couldn't get Clint down there in the creek at Hominy. Hominy Creek. So we used the baptistry. Paul Skaggs was a pastor up there. And I took a chair and sat down in the baptistry. And I picked him up and carried him down in the baptistry and set him on that chair and baptized him in that chair. And he come out just to praising the Lord when he broke water and tickled to death. But I thought when I got the message last night that he'd passed, he's all drawled in that wheelchair and he couldn't talk real plain and that, but not more. All that's done. And the Clint that had the new life is doing wonderful in the presence of the Lord. Now, someday, when the Lord comes again, that old curled up body was in there. The Lord will put put everything back together and He raises that body up into a glorified body. Now, I don't understand all that, but I truly believe it because the Bible said. And someday, it still ain't going to be like you see now, but it's all because of the work on the inside. And that's why you must be born again to have that work on the inside. Do you understand? I mean, I know a lot of people that weather worn and bent over and diseased and old and everything. But boy, when I see them again, my wonderful, wonderful words of life. Man, they in better shape than anybody's here is, that's for sure. Huh? But that's because of that new birth. But see, what's born of flesh is flesh. But what's born of spirit is spirit. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? See, you were born, it ain't that you were born wrong, you were just born a sinner. I don't know that I got scripture to say you was born wrong, but I do have scripture to say you was born a sinner. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That did not mean he was conceived out of wedlock. That meant he was conceived a sinner. He was conceived a sinner. You're born a sinner. The Bible says, wherefore but one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men for that all sin. Romans 5:12 is what it said. And that's why people died, because they're born a sinner. It ain't because they're mean, it's because they're born a sinner. I know a lot of people that's good people as far as morality and honest and pay their debts and never would hurt nobody or hurt an animal or do anything, wouldn't think about missing out on this or mistreating this and charitable, but the Bible says they're a sinner. You don't have to be a drunkard to be a sinner. You don't have to be an adulterer to be a sinner. You don't have to be a blasphemer to be a sinner. What you have to be you have to be born to be a sinner. That's why you need born again. Because you're born a sinner. You understand? That's why you need to be born again. It's not because you're mean, it's because you're a sinner. I've had many people say, well, I'm as good as you, and they are. In fact, most of them are better. But you must be born again. Marvel not. You must be born. If you only have been born once, you must be born again. Now, you don't have to be born again. But you do have to be born the second time. Does everybody understand what I said this morning? You must be born again. That's the message. That's the message that we need to tell everybody. You must be born again. Well, I'm good. You must be born again. Is that all you know? Yeah, because you must be born again. You must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you received Christ? I got tickled yesterday. That little boy from Lighthouse Baptist that got saved yesterday, he came forward and I asked him, I said, did you come to receive Christ? Yes, I did. And I talked to him a little bit. I said, well, you're going to have to do that yourself. I can't do that for you. He said, okay. And he called on the Lord. I mean, he talked to the Lord a little bit. Well, when Greg asked him, said, are you saved? I was telling Ricky, and that's why I asked him, I said, did you receive Christ? Oh, yeah. I did, because I didn't ask him about being saved. I asked him about receiving Christ, because that's what the Scripture says that we preached to you last Sunday morning. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And he listened to every word. He said, I received Christ. So when I said, did you receive Christ? That's why he smiled, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. And I even talked to him afterwards, and he understood that plainly. All right. So understand that's what must be done. That's being born again. You got to receive Christ. Right, have you received Christ? Huh? You say, well, my mom and dad, they were Christian. We was raised in a Christian home. I don't care where you was raised. I don't care if you was laid on the moon. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? It has nothing to do with how good you are or how good your people was. Right. It has nothing to do with how much money you give or how nice you are. I mean, look at me, how sweet and nice I am. I'm so sweet and nice it just oozes out of me. Huh? But it has nothing to do with my salvation. It's just I'm a nice guy. Right? But it had nothing to do with my salvation. Had nothing to do. You must be born again. Have you got that first point? That's the message. You must be born again. You say, well, okay, I hear what you're saying now. How? All right, now that's what we want to look at. We can look at the method. Give you the message, give you the method. The method is real simple. Let's look at verse 14. Now, the reason Jesus uses this scripture is because Nicodemus knew this scripture. Nicodemus knew the first five books of the Bible by heart. No doubt he might even be one of them guys that could quote it all. He knew all the writings of Moses and the prophets. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was religious. See, you're religious yourself. Now, whether you're saved or not, I don't know. But I know you're religious because you come to church. You come to church, you may even encourage your Bible. Huh? You sung a worship song. You sung a praise song. You enjoyed the special singing. And it may even emotionally move you. You're religious. You're religious. You may even say the blessing before you eat. You may even say the blessing before you play a ball game. Huh? You may even pray before you do that. I listened to Joe Nelms the other day. He's a preacher friend down south, and him and David Nix are big buddies, and he's out of David Nix's church down there. He prayed. I ain't never heard nobody pray like he prayed at a race car game. One of them, the big one they have, Daytona. They called on him. He got up there and prayed. I ain't never heard no such a praying in all my life. He prayed. He thanked God for the oil and the tars and the lights and the flags and everything. I mean, he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and gave him the gospel and prayed and then thanked the Lord for his smoking hot wife. Amen. That's how he prayed. I like to fell over. I ain't never heard nobody pray like that. He's nuts. But anyway, you may pray like that. But can I tell you, you must be born again. Are you hearing me? You must be. Have you been born again? See, I know when I was born again. You may not know the day. You may not know the hour. I don't know the hour. I just happen to know on the 27th day of May, 1973, that I slipped from the front seat to the altar and received Christ as my Savior, and He born me again on the inside and saved my soul. 52 years ago. I know that. I remember that. I remember the change that took place inside of me. I remember the relief that took place inside of me. And I can go back to that. Have I been... No, my goodness, I messed up and been ashamed of the way. But can I tell you, something always brought me back to, wait a minute, Mark, you don't act like that because you belong to me, and you don't talk like that, and you don't go because you belong to me. And He's worn me out many, many times, but I know that I've been born again. Do you know that? Do you know that? Huh? Now, Nicodemus knows what the scripture said. He knows the accounts of Moses. So Jesus reminds him here in verse 14, being so religious, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, why is that there? Well, it's very simple. You go back in Numbers, and you go back and read in Numbers chapter 21, and you'll read that the children of Israel were bitten by a serpent. They were dying. They were going to die. And so Moses took made a brazen serpent, and a serpent of brass, stuck it up on a pole, and held it up and told the people, because the serpent or the judgment had come from God. And can I tell you that death comes from God? The devil is not the power of death, but God gives life and death. All right? And because of this disobedience, the children of Israel were going to perish. Because of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden, sin coming to the world. And can I tell you, it's been that pattern. Because of our rebellion and disobedience, we're unsaved. Everybody still follow me? So Moses held up the serpent or the brass pole, that serpent of brass, and the Bible says, and whoever looked to that lived. If they would look, well, to look, they had to believe. They were going to have to place faith in that to look. I'm sure some said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I ain't looking at that stupid serpent. And they died. There's people who die every day that refuse to look to Christ. They say it's the dumbest thing I ever heard, and they die lost. All right? But Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Speaking of Him on the cross, and He said on over in John, He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Christ died openly on the cross of Calvary for all to see. And if you'll simply place your faith looking to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, huh? Think about that. Look to Him, then whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. I can't make it no simpler than that's the method. You look by faith to the cross that Jesus was lifted up on, just like Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and they who looked upon Him by faith were saved alive. Then those who will look at the cross is saved the same way. That's as simple as it is. By faith. By faith. Everybody understand that? Now, and that's the only way. It's by faith. It's not by works. It's by faith. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. It says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith. That's the method. The message is you must be born again. The method is you look to Christ, who is lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted. Look to Christ. That's the method. And that's the only method. Okay? Is everybody okay so far? Now let's look at the miracle. Can we look at the miracle? I give you the message, I give you the method. Now let's look at the miracle. Let's look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The miracle is that God loves you this morning, and that God gave Himself for you this morning, and that God will save you this morning and born you again if you'll just believe on Him. He'll give you eternal life this morning. He'll give you everlasting life this morning. He didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. He come to save you this morning. He didn't come to beat you away. He come to pull you to Him. He didn't say, go away. He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You come to Me and I'll help you. You come to Me and I'll save you. You come to Me and I'll give you eternal life. And it don't cost you a dime of money. It don't cost you no works. It only costs you, you believe on Him. Set self aside. Ooh, there's the rub. If you want to put a price on it, I reckon you're going to have to lay your pride aside. And say, God, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I've been bitten and I'm dying, but I'm going to look to you. Because you was lifted up and died in my place. I believe you. And he said, well, I'll just give you eternal life. I'll just go ahead and wipe away all that past and let you start brand new on the 8th day of June, 2025. I'll just go ahead and let you start brand new, clean as a whistle, clean as the driven snow, huh? I'll let you start right now and you can have eternal life, everlasting life with me. And someday we'll just go ahead and spend it all together. That's what he'll do for you. And that's about as simple as I know to make it. That's about as simple as I know to make it. Anybody here don't understand what I told you? Anybody here don't understand what I told you? Well, let me ask you this. Have you done that very thing? Are you saved this morning? I'm truly saved. I'm talking about Bible saved. That's what I preach this morning. Are you Bible saved this morning? Huh? Have you been born again? If you have not been born again, what you ought to do is slip out of your seat and come forward. You say, why do I have to do that, preacher? Well, you really don't have to do it. You really don't have to. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. That's what the Bible said. Huh? I think that's Romans 10:11, I believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name shall not be ashamed. Now remember, the Bible says, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all call upon him. There's no difference in me or you. There's no difference in you and 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 you. There's no difference. What you need this morning is to look at yourself. Have I been born again? You know, I have characteristics of mom and dad. And I don't know if you call it proof. If you ever knew my mom and dad, you'd probably say, well, there's no doubt you belong to them. Right? Can I tell you what the Bible says? There's St. Peter. St. Peter chapter 1, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, I'm going to have characteristics of my Heavenly Father. You got any of that? You know, it says faith, and virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. I mean, it's a change. You know what you not normally are? They've been a change in you. They've been a change in you. Are you saved this morning? Look at me. Are you saved? Are you truly saved? You've been born again. If you ain't been, I don't care where you've been to church. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what you've done. It's none of my business. You don't have to confess your sins. You confess Christ. You need to confess you're a sinner. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning? Have you been born again? Bow your heads, please. I wonder if there'd be one here this morning, lift your hand and say, Preacher Mark, I have not been born again. I want you to pray for me. I believe you'd pray for me, and I would. I would pray for you. Love to. How about lift your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I ain't never been born again. I need saved, Preacher, what I need. Would you pray for me? Anybody lift their hand and say, man, pray for me, Preacher. Would you? I normally don't do all this. I feel the urgency to be preaching salvation last Sunday, this Sunday, the next couple Sundays, because so many are lost. Are you saved this morning? Let me ask you this morning. But If anybody be willing to be honest and say, "Preacher, I've been born again, but sure can't tell it. I've been saved, but I've been hiding them characteristics of my Heavenly Father. I ain't been living right. I need to get right with the Lord." I wonder if there'd be anybody lift their hand and say, "That's me, preacher. I need to get right with the Lord this morning. What a need." But if anybody be honest enough to do that, let's stand together. Can we, Father, speak to our heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.